John chapter 14 is where our text is going to be at today. Not a real complicated message. I don't like them to be real complicated, just a real simple message. And I hope not real long, but at the same time, I pray that it's very, very strong with regard to power to save. And I pray if you're here today and saved, I pray that through the message you would be made, of course, to worship the Lord. Let's go ahead, John 14, let's begin at verse 1, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our scripture study. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Amen. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we're so thankful for the fine crowd that you've given us. We're so thankful also for the two that's come for baptism and professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for Rhea, and we're thankful for Jordan. And Lord, we're thankful for the other ones that will be brought before the church and presented as candidates for baptism. For another, bring a friend on the 7th. And oh, Master, you're moving amongst us, I believe, in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that you'd bind the strong man. We pray that the old devil would not be able to quench the spirit and the things that you are doing here. And Lord, we pray that the power of the Spirit of living God would be in our services today. And perhaps through the preaching of the Word, maybe someone would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior today. We're so thankful, Lord, for the singing. Thankful for the pianist. We're thankful for the congregation that's here. And Lord, we're so thankful that we know you as Lord and Savior today. And Father, as your word goes forth now, we know that it will accomplish that which you intend. And we just want to get back out of the way and just submit to your direction. And we pray that as your word, it would be in power and not in word only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I dearly love this text of Scripture. I've always enjoyed it. Read it many times. Maybe I can't remember how long ago because I lose track of my days and times. I don't know why I do that anymore. But hadn't been that long ago, I'd done a series and entitled it Different Names of Heaven, Different Names God's Word Uses for Heaven. My favorite name for heaven is I love the term paradise and I love the term heaven and I like the term Beulah Land and all these different terms that's used. I love them. But my most favorite, my great aunt says favorite. My most favorite word for heaven, name for heaven, is the Father's house. I love it. That's my favorite one. I love to talk about the Father's house. It's very tender to my heart whenever even you... I can't even hardly say it sometimes without getting all tore up over talking about the Father's house. Well, that's what we're going to look at today. As far as the title for this message, that's what we're going to call it. We're going to call it the Father's House. We're going to ask two questions, and it's not going to be real long, but we're going to ask two questions, and we're going to answer them in the sermon. Question number one, why is it called the Father's House? I think that's a good question. Why is it called the Father's House will be the first point that we look at. Then number two, when was our place prepared? When was our place prepared? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the question then would be, when was our place prepared? So that's what we're going to look at today. Well, the first question we want to look at is, why is it called the Father's house? And just to give it a simple answer, the reason why it's called the Father's house is because it's home for all of God's children. That's just a real simple answer, is it not? But that's why it's called the Father's house, because it is home for all of God's children. And in order to go to the Father's house, you know what you first must be, don't you? You have to be a child. You have to be a child of God. We live in a day and a time when folks seem to have the idea that if you're born and you're here in America, that everybody that's born is a child of God. That is absolutely not true. You become a child of God by faith in Jesus Christ. How often do you hear out in the secular world, somebody will be talking about something, they say, well, we're all God's children. Have you heard anybody do that? We're all God's children. That's not so. We're all God's creation. But you become a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I want to show you that, if you don't mind. If you would, we're in John. If you'll just flip back to the Gospel of John chapter 1. There's a lot of people that believe in heaven, and there's a lot of people that believe in the Father's house that have never received Christ as their Savior. They think they're going to go just because that they believe that there's a God. They think they're going to go just because that they believe that Jesus existed 2,000 years ago. My friend, it's more than that. You got to trust Him. You got to trust in your heart that He died on Calvary for you. You got to receive Him as your Savior. Notice what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Notice what it says in verse 11. It says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power or authority to become the sons of God or the children of God. Basically, it means the same thing. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. As many as do what? Receive Him. Everybody see that? As many as receive Him, to them give authority to become the children of God. Only after you receive Him do you become a child of the King. You're not a child of the King until you've received Christ as your Savior. And you need to understand that it's too late for you to find that out after that you're gone. You have to know that here and now. Just knowing something will make you better does not indeed make you better, does it? I've mentioned this many times from this pulpit. If you had a terminal disease, and then in the end of this pen, I had a medicine that would make you better. And then I walked up to you and I said, now you're dying, but there's good news today. In the end of this pen, if you'll take the end of it off, there's a little pill that you can take that'll make you completely whole. And I'd reach over and I'd set that pen down in front of you and I'd say, there. Well, if I come back a week later and you never had took it, and I'd say, now listen now, have you took your medicine? No, I've not. Do you realize that the cure? Yes, I do. And I believe it'll make me better. Just believing it'll make you better doesn't make you better. What do you have to do? You have to take the end of the pen. You got to take the pill. Then what you have to do, you have to receive it. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's more than knowing that there is a God. It's more than believing that there's a God. It's more than believing that Jesus lived 2,000 years ago. Folks, that's a fact of history. It's receiving Him as your Lord and as your Savior. We'll be baptizing two folks today. Both of them have received Jesus. More than know about Jesus, they have received Him as their personal Lord and as their Savior. They're children of God. And since they're children of God, then they have a home in the Father's house. My friend, the greatest reason, I could go on and on this morning and talk about reasons why that you need to receive the Lord. But the greatest reason is to have a home in the Father's house. I couldn't imagine living a life without the expectation at the end of my days going to the Father's house. Told you many times in the past that aging would be a horrible thing if not for the expectation at the end of your days going home. Going home. It's going to be a day and a time for old Jeff Arthur. You know what's going to happen? He's going to go home. I got a home in the Father's house. This morning I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? It's interesting, and I won't turn you there, but I will tell you about it. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. It says that we are pilgrims and strangers here. You know what a pilgrim is? A pilgrim is someone that's on a journey. That's what a pilgrim is. And you know, folks, I'm on a journey. And there will be a day and a time when my journey here is done. And my journey here on this old earth is not very long. Now, if I'd live to be 150, which I seriously doubt that that's going to happen, but if I would live to be 150, that wouldn't be real long in comparison to eternity, would it? Fact remains is that we, all of us here today, know one thing for sure, is we know that if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime, that there will be an end of our pilgrimage here. It will be over. There's a day and a time when our journey here will come to an end. That's the reason why it says that we are what? Pilgrims. Here on the earth. We're just passing through here. It also says that we're strangers. A stranger is a foreigner. Someone from another land. Do you realize not only are we just passing through here, we're on a pilgrimage, we're on a journey, but also this old world here, it's not our final home, is it? Everything we have here on this earth, other than the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, is temporary. I live up in Black Betsy Bottom, West Virginia. And I got a home there, but you know that home I have there is just temporary. It's not going to last forever. I'm just going to be there till the end, hopefully, Lord willing, hopefully till the end of my pilgrimage, up until when it's done. My actual home is the Father's house. That's where my home's at. That's where my king's at. I got citizenship there. That's my also called my country. Book of Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. I'm a citizen there. My king's there. And listen, I got people there too. I got people here. But folks, I also got people there. At the Father's house. People that I love. And people that one day, that I look so forward to one day seeing. Again. Home at the Father's house. So we're on a pilgrimage. We're just passing through here anyhow. But we're also strangers. We're from another land. Folks, you should be able. You know, when someone's from another country and they come here. They come here to America. And it's different, isn't it? You can tell they're from another country. Sometimes from the way that they talk and sometimes from the apparel that they wear. Would you agree today that since we are away from our land, would you agree today that you should be able to tell the difference between God's children and the people of the world? From the way they talk, from the way they act, from the habits they have, and from the things that they do. There must be a distinction between the children of God and the children of the world. We're from another land, folks. So we're pilgrims and strangers here. It's called the Father's house. Why is it? Was our first question. Why is it called the Father's house? Because it's home to all of God's children. And now as we've come to this part of the message, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you God's child? Have you received Him as your Savior? Is that your home? Do you have a home there? Psalms 23, you remember what King David said, the very last verse of Psalms 23, what did he say? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? I will too. Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that at the end of your days, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in order to dwell in the house of the Lord, in order to have a home in the Father's house, you know what? He has to be your shepherd. He has to be your king. He has to be your Savior. It has to be a day and a time in your life when you receive Him as your Savior. Both these two we're bringing before you today for baptism. Both have. And they're publicly declaring that today through the means of their baptism. Let's move on to the next point. When was the place prepared? When was the place prepared? We realize that what the Father's house is, why that term is used now, because it's home for all of God's children. Now, the second point is, when was the place prepared? And I think this is where a lot of confusion comes in. The picture is many times is that, of course, Jesus died, and then after 3 days, He rose again. And then He spent 40 days on earth. And then after 40 days, what did He do? He ascended back to heaven. And then the idea is that Jesus went to heaven and He got a hammer and a saw and He started building us mansions there. Jesus is constructing my mansion there. See, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't think that's what that means. And I'm going to show you why. We'll give you two reasons. Well, the first thing that I want you to see with regard to that, turn back to our text in John chapter 14. And I want you to notice what Jesus says here. I want everybody in the house to see this real close. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house. Now, where is the Father's house, folks? That's just another name for heaven. Calls it the Father's house because it's home for all of God's children. In my Father's house, what does it say? Are many mansions. He didn't have to build them. They're already there. All God's people said. Does everybody see that? It's very important you see that. He didn't have to go build them. They're there. Now, the word mansion simply means dwelling places. That's all the word means. It means when it says they are many dwelling places, that means there's plenty of room there. Plenty of room for an old hell-bound sinner like me. Plenty of room for you. If you received the Messiah, there's plenty of room for you. And that's the only reason for the text. But what I want you to see, they are many dwelling places. They're already there. And you got to remember, whenever He is speaking, the Lord Jesus is speaking, John 14, you got to remember the timing of it. If you go back and look at John 13, you know where Jesus is at when He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know where He's at? He's in the upper room. Remember they took the Passover? He's speaking this in the upper room. He's speaking these words the evening before that He died. So He's addressing His 11. If you'll read chapter 13, Judas had done received the sop and left. And He's addressing His 11. And their heart's troubled. Because He told him, you know, He'd be going away. And He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Then He went on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, just think just for a little bit. The question was, when did He prepare your place? Remember when He said it. He said it in the upper room. Do you, everybody in the house know what happened the next morning at 9 o'clock in the morning? You know what happened the next morning? Jesus was put on the cross. From 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 6 hours He hung on the cross. Folks, on the cross is where He prepared your place. You have no place in heaven because of your sin debt. We just couldn't go. There was plenty of room there. It was there. It was all there. He said there are many dwelling places there. But an old sinner like Jeff Arthur just couldn't go. Why was it? Because of his sin. Well, you know what Jesus did? He came and He was born. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, it says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." And He lived a 100% perfect life. Not one evil thought. He kept God's law 100%. And then when the time came, 2,000 years ago, He went to the cross of Calvary, and there He prepared our place. I have no place in heaven if not for the sacrificial death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He prepared my place on Calvary. I have no place there if it wasn't for Him. I often ask if you were stopped at the gates of heaven and you were stopped there and say, "Hey, Jeff, what right do you have to enter this glorious place?" What would you say? You know what right I have to enter? Jesus died for my sins. And He rose again the third day. That's where my place was prepared. That's where your place was prepared. We just couldn't go the way that we were. Jesus paid the debt that we owed. I like this statement. Sometimes you'll hear it on church signs. And in all reality, it is very, very true. Jesus took 3 nails and 2 timbers. And He built a bridge to heaven. He did that, did He not? That's where He prepared our place. He said that statement the night before He died. He talked about the Father's house. He said there's plenty of dwelling places there. Then what did He say? "Now, I go to prepare your place." And the only reason why we're going today, if you're here today and born again, the only reason why we're going is why? Calvary. That's when He made the way. The question today for you is, have you trusted the way? Look down in the text now. Let's move on to the next. Everybody see it? Oh, boy, if you can get this great truth here, it really means a whole lot to you. Look down in the text now. Jesus said, verse 15, or Jesus said in verse 6. Let's look at 5 and 6. Thomas said unto the Lord, "We know not whether you go. How can we know the way?" Jesus said what? "I am the way. I am the way. The truth and the life. No man, nobody. That includes everybody. Mankind, no man goes to the Father but by me." That's why He's called the way. That's why it said He prepared our place. Folks, He's the only way. There is no other. If you're going to go to the Father's house, you have to go through the way, and the way to the Father's house is through the means of Christ. You have to receive Him. Matthew chapter 7 says there's a broad road that leads to destruction, and there's a narrow road that leads to life. You know who that narrow road is? That narrow road is Jesus. You know, people are trying all kinds of different ways in order to go to heaven, aren't they? But my friend, this says there's only one way. The way to the Father's house is Jesus. And my friend, that's the only way you can get there. Somebody sent me a YouTube thing. One of an Oprah show. I can't remember which one of you sent it to me. And in the Oprah show, of course, she's not the standard for spirituality as far as concerning spiritual things. One of the things she said about the way, when someone said that Jesus is the only way, she said, "There's no way that's the only way." Well, that's a direct contradiction of Scripture. It can't be. She said, it can't be only one way. There's so many people in the world that don't trust Jesus. There's Buddhists and there's Muslims and there's Hindus. There can't be only one way. Who's the authority? This says there's only one way. Now, that's not in 2008 America, not the politically correct way. You got to include everything. Now, you might need to do that on the political realm. People do that on the political realm. But that don't do people any good. If He is the only way, and then you teach another way other than Him, is that bad? Sure is, because there's a lot of people going to end up deceived. There'll be many people in Matthew chapter 7 that says, will stand before the Lord one day and say, "Lord, have we not done many wonderful works, and have we not prophesied in Your name?" And mentions all the good things that they did. And says, Jesus will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. What was her problem? No mention of Jesus in all that they said. You have to trust the way. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. There is no other name. Now, if you get to looking, it says no other name under heaven. You know, every nation in the world is under heaven. In Japan, in India, in Russia, there's only one name given. It's not Mohammed. It's not Buddha. It's Jesus. And you say, well, you're awful close-minded. Well, brother, I'll continue to be that way because that's what it says. That's exactly what it says. There is no other way. He's it. And folks, you've got to stand for that. You've got to stand for it. Boy, Larry King loves to get preachers on his program and bring this exact question up that I just... Is there another way? Well, if you're saying he's the other way, what about the Hindus and the Muslims? And they like to publicly put you on display and ridicule for it. I don't think they ought to go on there anyhow. Really, what's... purpose does it serve? You ever watch a preacher, a public preacher that doesn't want to make a stand for anything, waffle under that question? Well, Larry, I really don't know. I'm not a judge. You're supposed to be a preacher. Says there's only one way to the Father's house. Stand for it or get out of the pulpit.
Amen.
Turn in your fleece, so to speak, but get out of the pulpit. Make a stand for what God's Word says. You're not doing anybody any good, but tell them they're okay when they've not trusted the way. I am the way. At the end of my days, at the end of my journey here, I'm going to go to the Father's house. And I'm going to go to the Father's house because of Jesus Christ prepared my place 2,000 years ago. There was a day and a time in my life when the Holy Spirit quickened me and opened my eyes. And I seen Jesus. Sister Rhea said, I see. Do you see Him today? Jesus is the way, but He's not part of the way. Does everybody see that? He said, I am the way. He's not part of the way. Your doctrine needs to have Christ being all the way. Well, it's Jesus and you is going to get you there. Is that right? That's part of the way. It has to be all the way, Jesus. Everybody in the house heard of Jacob's ladder. I want to show you this real fast, and I'll stop. I intend this to be a little bit shorter. That's all right, isn't it? John chapter 1. I want to show you this. I like this. I showed this to our people who's been with us a while in the past. I'll show it to you again. Talking to Nathaniel, Brother Lee, he's talking to Nathaniel. And he said, verily I, verse 51, you mark this. If you take notes in your Bible, write out Jacob's ladder because that's what Jesus is referring to. Jacob's ladder. Has everybody ever heard of Jacob's ladder? I'm going to explain it to you here in just a little bit. He said unto him, verse 51, verily I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You see, you have a picture of heaven open, and you have a picture of angels climbing up. The Son of Man is Jesus, by the way. You have a picture of angels going up Jesus and coming down Jesus. That's the picture He's drawing for you. Now, there's another text in the Scriptures. It's in the book of Genesis, and I didn't take the time to look it up for you, but I'll tell you about it. You remember, have you ever heard of Jacob's ladder? Remember Jacob fell asleep, and then he fell asleep, and in his dream, he dreamed of a ladder that reached from earth to heaven. Does everybody know where I'm coming from? Actually, the word ladder is probably not the best translation. It is probably stair steps. It's like a stair that goes to heaven. Did you realize today that there is a ladder, that there is stair steps that go from earth to heaven? Well, you want to find that ladder, don't you? At the end of my days, I want to go to heaven. So if you're going to go, you better find the ladder that bridges from earth to heaven. Well, you know what? When Jacob had that dream, you know what it said? In his dream, he seen this great stair step that went from earth to heaven. You know what was happening in his dream? Angels was going up the stair step, Jemadiah. And you know what else they was doing? They was ascending and they was descending. Jesus took that same illustration and he was basically telling the people in John 1, I'm Jacob's ladder. If you're going to go from earth to heaven, you've got to go up the ladder right here. It's me. I'm the road that leads there. I'm the steps that leads there. That's the only way you're going to go. So, he prepared our place, folks. He prepared our place on Calvary. He did that the next day after talking about the Father's house. In the same context, he said, I'm the way. Now, folks, have you received the way? Have you trusted the way? And you trust Him. Now, He's all the way. He said, now, I'm not going to bring you right here. Then I'm going to leave you. Then no, He's all the way. He's all the way. It's not Jesus plus you. It's Jesus plus nothing. You say, well, now, I think you ought to live right. You do. You do. You do live right. I want to live right. I want you to get what I'm saying now. This is important. I want to live right, Brother Raines. I want to live right. I want to be godly. I want to be moral. I want to do things for the right reason. I want to live such a life as to be different from the world. Because God has called us to a different standard anyhow. But you know why I want to do it? I'm doing it because I love Him. I'm not doing it to get saved. And I'm not doing it to keep myself saved. Because what's the whole way from earth to heaven? It's Jesus. What He did on Calvary is what saves your soul. Colossians 2 verse 10 says that we are complete. Now I want you to listen to what that says. Colossians 2:10. We are complete in Him. That's awesome. There's no other way you can be complete outside of Jesus. You'll always be lacking something. But in Jesus, you're complete. Everything that's needed to remove your sin debt, everything that's needed to save your soul, everything that's needed to give you a home in the Father's house, everything that's needed to wash your sin debt away, everything that's needed to give you eternal life, everything you have in Christ Jesus, all God's people say, all of it. Have you trusted the way? Do you have a home? Do you have a home in the Father's house? Now the answer to that question, if you're saved, is yes. I pray that you say yes, I do. The other wrong answer, that also may be true, is no, Jeff. I believe it's there. But I've never trusted Jesus. That's a foolish thing. To know it's there and to gamble with your eternal soul that you'll have another opportunity to trust the Messiah. You never know. Do we not know that by now? You never know. You need to trust Him. If you believe it's there, and the Holy Spirit spoke into your heart, then you need to trust Him. And you need to trust Him today as your Savior. And then after you've trusted Him, you need to come and publicly show that forth through the waters of baptism. Okay. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Eddie. And we're going to have our candidates for baptism come for their baptism today. We're so excited about this. I see the Lord continue to move. But if you're here today and lost, I don't know the condition of your heart. You need to trust Him. Now listen one more time. That's not the 2-minute warning there now. If you don't know whether you're saved or not, you need to trust Him. Lord, I don't know if it was real back here. You know, I don't know if I did know what I was talking about. And I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, then you need to know. Lord, if I've never trusted You, then I want to trust You now. All that the Father giveth me shall come. Him that cometh, what does Jesus say? Him that cometh to me, what does He say? I'll no wise cast him out. He'll save you. He'll save you right there where you're at. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, as Your word is going forth, we know that it doesn't return void. And we're so thankful today for the home that You've given us in the Father's house. And that because of Your grace, Lord, we have the standing that we have. We're so thankful that You've prepared the place. We're so thankful for the great plan of salvation. We're thankful for these two today that have professed faith in the others that we're going to bring that have trusted You as their Savior. Thank You, Master, for the great salvation benefits that You've given. And Lord, thank You for giving us a home in the Father's house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But Eddie, we'll turn over to you. You just remain seated, and we're going to bring the young people over, and we're going to do a baptism.